Welcome to this inspiring message from Grace Life Church. We do hope you enjoy it. For more information about us, please see our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. It's a privilege to always, it's always a privilege to bring the Word of God to a church. I want to thank God for what He's doing here and for what He's doing in you and through you for the awesome worship. But for the testimony this morning, I love it when the church goes out there on the street to nursing homes to take Jesus to them. So I just want to pray for ladies not here, those who go to nursing homes. Maybe at the end of the service, we want to pray with them and just bless them. Yes, when they come, and we just pray with them and bless them for the wonderful work that God is doing in them and through them. And when we go to places, we don't know, sometimes we think we need to share the word. Sometimes we need to share the gospel. Sometimes we think we need to convert them. You know, but sometimes, most of the time, your presence there, even without a word, bring God's presence. The challenge with it, I have to be careful here because sometimes I can get really excited and move away from my sermon, but you know, for us, the biggest thing we have that God has given us is the presence of God. Yeah. He could not get anything better than Himself. If you know, sometime last year, my daughter did Duke of Edinburgh Gold, and we went to the palace, the garden, and they did presentation. So if you go to get the Queen, and she'll honor you, and she'll give you a very expensive royal present, but she will never give you herself. That God, the creator of the universe, thought, I love you so much, but I don't think there's anything that's worth giving to you more than myself. So he deposited himself in us. And sometimes we get so religious and get so used to some of these things, these religious words, these Christian words, this spiritual language, and I become so ordinary to us. I tell you, if the Queen walked into this room this morning, you will not do service like you normally do. For one, weeks before they will come and check this place and redo the toilet and redo the windows and check the security and make sure the whole place is rewired and spend maybe $50,000 on the toilet that she will not use. Why? Because royalty is coming to the house. Today, I want to introduce my sermon to you. I'm preaching on what I have titled, When God is in the House. When we are preparing for the human royalty, it's a national preparation. It takes weeks and months and communication between the palace and those who are organizing it and the security agency and everything that have to do with it. You liaise with the council, you liaise with Transport for London, then you will liaise with, you know, you don't know how much goes into organizing just 45 minutes visit from the Queen or from Prince Harry or from Prince Williams. We just see them on telly and we say, wow. But to host them, because people know who they are, there is proper preparation. So when they come, we value the 45 minutes visit. because of the time of preparation. But God in heaven, after Jesus came and sacrificed his life and he went back, he thought, I need to leave myself in them. When we say the Holy Spirit, sometimes we say, we think the Holy Spirit in me, yeah, yes, yes. And then we go on and live as if he's not there. Nobody does that to the queen. When the queen is around, she is the center of the attention, center of focus. The focus is on her. So when we are aware of the presence of the God that is in us, it starts with an awareness, just knowing that is there. It's amazing what an awareness of the of the presence of God does to your thinking, does to your psyche, does to what you do and how you do things. Practice it sometimes. In our church, we're doing 40 days fasting and prayer, just seeking God. And I'm preparing a Bible note for every day. And I didn't go to bed until 5 a.m. this morning because I was preparing something. And I remember writing there, it said, just practice the presence of God. Where you wake up in the morning, you read your Bible, you've done everything you want, you go to work, you're just aware that you're carrying his presence. So when you jump on the tube, you are aware. When you jump into your car to drive, there is that awareness. When you go to the office, you carry that sense of God's presence, glorious presence in you. I tell you, you will watch what you say. Mm-hmm. You will not speak like you normally speak. Mm-hmm. You will even watch how you think because you know he's there. You say, no, don't think like that. God is there. You watch how you usually react to people when they do things because you know he's there. When you are aware of God's presence, the truth is you start to feel his presence. You start to see his manifest presence. By manifest presence, I mean the senses, your physical senses start to identify. There's an awareness, you in your body you feel some things in your eyes start to see, your ears start to hear, your hands start to carry his power, and your mouth declares words with authority because you know he's there. And so when you go to a nursing home like that, you know what happens? Without even saying a word, just because you are there, the glory of God fills the place. People come under the action and anointing and glory of God without making decisions, because it is a spirit to spirit thing. God bypasses their mind because you carry his presence, and he touches them without asking them for permission. See, there are ways to bypass protocol. Just carry his presence. His presence cannot be dictated by, detected by metal detector in the airport or those X-ray machines. Now, if you see, he's just in there. And when you're fighting battles, your enemy does not know. They see you, but they don't see him. And so they are watching out for your arrows that will come from you, but they are exposed to the one that comes from him. It is amazing what a difference it makes in our lives, where we are consciously aware, where we make deliberate effort, conscious decision to be aware of the presence of God in our lives each day. I want to throw you a challenge. This week, practice it. Try it. You come back next week Sunday and you give testimonies that will amaze you. Today I want... What's the time? How much time do I have left? You sure? You sure you want to take that risk with me? We might be here still by 5 p.m. by the time I finish, okay? I trust your confidence. In First 1 Samuel chapter 17. Can we go there, please? It's a long chapter, but I just want to skim through it. The sermon I'm preaching today, this topic was our prayer reading for yesterday. I went for a jog yesterday morning and I heard God say, that's what I want you to preach on. I had something else in mind. And so I think it's been born out of a couple of weeks of prayer. So I'm hoping that God will use it to bless you today. Lord, we thank you as we read your word this morning that your holy presence, your spirit will breathe this word into our lives. Not just our minds, not just our body, but our spirit will catch it. You turn us inside out for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, 1 Samuel chapter 19. Sorry about that. This day, the 17th of our prayer. It was the 17th of our prayer month. That's why I said 17. Sorry about that. It's 1 Samuel chapter 19. This is the story of when... After the victory of David over Goliath in the battle of the Valley of Elah, the Bible says the women came out singing. They said Saul killed his thousands and David his 10,000. And Saul was so jealous. Before this time, the Bible told us that the Spirit of God had left Saul. And an evil spirit came upon him. And so there was jealousy. He wanted to kill David. And so David went on this run from one place to another until eventually he went to Ramah, Naoth in Ramah to meet Samuel. And David and Saul sent men to kill him there. Said, we've got him now. And these men... The first group went and they met the prophets because in Naoth was a place where Prophet Samuel ran the school of the prophets. So they practiced hearing from God. They practiced the presence of God regularly. And so these men went there to kill David. But unfortunately, they didn't prepare for the fact that they were stepping into the zone of God. When people come in contact with us, they are not prepared for what we carry. But that works to our advantage. So sometimes when people come to church, they prepare for church. For example, when I go to conferences, I prepare myself. Sometimes people come in not knowing what to expect, so they tighten up. They say, I will not open myself, I have to guard myself. But when they might guard themselves against you, They're not against God. They are open to God. And so these guys came to arrest David, and they came in contact. They came in the company. They came to join. There was a group of people who were, the spirit of prophecy had rested upon them, and they started to prophesy. So the team of soldiers came, prophetic anointing rested upon them, and they started to prophesy. They dropped their sword, and their shield, and their arrow, and their bow, and started to prophesy. Then the word went to Saul, and he sent another team, and he sent a third team until he came himself. He came himself. So I'm going to kill this guy. But the Holy Spirit caught up with him, even with the demonic spirit that was operating in his life. When he came, the Bible did not say, the Bible says when he came to the place, he had not even got to the house. He was walking on the street when he was zapped by the Holy Spirit. Let's read that part. Because the verse is so, chapter is so long, I just want to. Now, verse 22. Then Saul himself went to Ramah and came to a great well that is in the lighting here. That is in circle. And he asked, "Where are Samuel and David?" And he was told, "They are in Naoth in Ramah." So he went on to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God came upon him also as he went on and prophesied. Some scripture tells you that as he was on the street walking, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He started to prophesy. He had not even reached the place. How many soldiers would it have taken to stop Saul from attacking David? How many men? The Holy Spirit did it in an instant. Just like that. Problems that would take hours of counseling to solve in an instant. Miracles that will take hours of prayers. Bottles of anointing oil emptied in the place until the person is flowing with oil. In an instant, the power of God did it because there was a presence. The Bible did not say that he came in contact. This time he was still just walking on the street. He had not even met the company of a prophet yet. The presence of God was so strong that it, not only did he feel the place where they were, it filled the street where they meant. They came under the anointing, and Saul started to prophesy. He took his outer coat. Because when you come in the presence of God, everyone surrenders. Everyone. No one can resist the Almighty God. Everyone surrenders. Everyone. Even the demons operating in Saul surrendered because it meant a greater authority. Spirit submits to authority. There's a hierarchy in the spirit, so they submit to us. So even if a child that's 5 years old, if he's aware of the presence of God in him or her, and it comes, you see a demonic man that's experienced for many years will fall under the anointing of the Lord in the life of that child. It is called authority. I think most of the time we place emphasis or we emphasize the wrong thing as Christians. It takes hours to prepare a sermon. And so when I come to a church, I want to preach the whole thing because I've put my time into it. And because we do that, sometimes we can't miss those opportunities that the Holy Spirit wants to break in. But I need to preach my sermon. He can wait while I preach my sermon. And my sermon is about him, yet he can wait while I preach my sermon, because I have received a revelation from him. The one who gave me the revelation wants to do the work himself, but no. He brought me in for a purpose. You can't sign me in just to so that you can take. No, I need to finish mine. Then you can. And by the time I finish, the service is finished. People are tired and they go home. So people came to meet the Lord, but I have denied them the opportunity for God to impact their lives because I want to preach my sermon. I've used myself as an example because that's the easiest thing to do. I don't want to point accusing fingers anymore. Do you know how many times we deny God the opportunity to move in our daily activities that we do? You are the place, and then somebody you hate, that one arrogant boss or colleague that you meet, and they make some points, and the Holy Spirit is just saying, keep quiet and let it go, and you want them to have a piece of your mind. And then you really go for it. The Holy Spirit that you carried there that was in operation is silence. He doesn't have a chance because your presence has filled the room. The Holy Spirit fills a vacuum. He doesn't compete. You have to make room for him to operate. If you are there, he won't do anything. So if I fill this place with my preaching, I leave him out. I squeeze him out. And then he's outside. The people came to meet him, but the guest of honor is outside while his servant is occupied the place. Church, this is something simple but true. It's true. When God is in the house, let me tell you what happens, and some of you can shout it out. When God is in the house, miracle happens. When God is in the house, blind eyes open. When God is in the house, cancers are cleansed. People are cleansed of cancer. You know, when God is in the house, broken marriages are mended. See, when God is in the house, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. See, when God is in the house, joy breaks in the company of the... When God is in the house, peace comes and heaviness is lifted. When God is in the house, light shines and darkness is extinguished. See, when God is in the house, you see, he provides money to buy a building like this without you having to fight for it. You get what I'm saying? When God is in the house, people hear about him and they come in because they want to meet God. See, when God is in the house, your home becomes a place where people come in and say, look, let's go and see. If you have a problem, go and see that guy. He's God. He has a God that will do something. Like that little lady that said about the prophet. He said, there is a prophet in Israel who can cleanse you of leprosy. There is a prophet in Israel. We are not ordinary people. The Bible says we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we should show forth his praises. How do we do it? By the manifest presence of God that operates in our lives that people will see and glorify him. But if it's not him that they see in us, they cannot glorify him, because everything we do is us and not him. It's got to be something that they know that I cannot do, that is him doing it, so they're able to glorify him. What are we allowing them to see? What are we showing them? We are heaven's billboard on earth to display the goodness of God. For people who will not usually come to church or read the Bible, but when they see us, they see the manifest living word of God. We, when we carry God's presence, we become the living word. They will see our actions as the word of God. A few years ago, a cousin of mine came to, I'm rounding off now. Is that okay? Still got time? Okay. Yeah? I'm okay. Good. I don't usually hear that, you know. It's usually, hey, that's what, come on. So, and this a cousin of mine came from Germany, in Berlin. I visit him regularly. We grew up together. And he, at a point, I think I had previously led him to the Lord when we were in Nigeria. But at a point, he slithered away when he went to Germany. And so he came to visit us and he stayed with us. Our kids was younger then. So we prayed together, like daily devotion. And he joined us and went out. We buy cigarettes, but he would smoke outside. I bought him drinks, he would drink. I don't drink, never have. But I'm not saying it's okay, it's not okay to drink, but I just don't, because I grew up, one of my siblings was an alcoholic, and because of that, I just don't touch alcohol. It's not because it's not a religious thing for me. And he stayed with us for about a week. I never shared the gospel. And he would argue over it and fight over it, so I didn't. Then he went home. He called me the following week. He said, my wife and myself and the kids went to church. He said, I went home, dug out my Bible, dusted it, said, I've recommitted myself to Lord again. I didn't share the word. He said, what I saw convinced me, but I'm not quite sure what he saw, because we did not do anything extraordinary. We just led a normal life that week. But he encountered God. That's what I'm saying. That was the difference. He encountered God. And he sees us like this super trooper Christians. And he listens to a sermon on Facebook. And when we go to see them, they treat us like royalty. But the truth is, he encountered God, took that to his wife, a German wife. She became a Christian. She gave up smoke. Both of them used to smoke heavily. They gave up smoking. They became ushers in the church, and their children. The children are big now. They encounter God. The presence of God can do what you cannot do. That is why God deposited him in us, to do what he's asked us to do, help us to do what he's asked us to do. But the good thing is, in heaven, what the Spirit of God does through us is recorded in our account, not his. It is seen as Desmond say, led him to the Lord, even though I did nothing. Do you get it? Some of the things that, you know, Jesus said you will say when we get to heaven, you say, Lord, when did I do this? A lot of it is not when you visited the people in prison. A lot of it is not when you convicted them, when you preached or when you gave them those things. A lot of it is what the Holy Spirit did because you went there. Yeah. You're not aware. Somebody who God's going to use to bring millions of people to the Lord would have been in that place when you visited. And the person encountered God and became a Christian, and you never knew. And the person went and did all these wonderful things, and you were say, you look at them and say, what a powerful ministry. And then you look at myself, what a pity, my how my life turned out. But you're not aware that it was you that God used to bless that guy. And so when you get to heaven, you're saying, Lord, my life was such a disappointment. Everything I tried, failed. And God said, shh, don't say anything. Just watch this video. And you're saying, Lord, wow, is that me? Yeah. Yeah. That was you. It's powerful what God does when we let him do things. The other thing I just want to add to this before I finish this afternoon is the Holy Spirit in you is not smaller than the God that's sitting on the throne in heaven. It's fully him. It's not a mini version of God. It's the whole God. Him, uncensored, unrestricted, full of his power and glory that's inside of you. He's sitting on the temple, the throne of your heart. So when you go to those places, you go in with the throne of heaven inside of you. The headquarters of heaven, of the kingdom of God, is now residing in the sons of men. So, do you wonder why sometimes you face resistance? It's just that such hatred for you. It's not you. It's the spirit that is tormenting them. You come into a place, that place comes under the authority of God, and the spirit that used to be in charge is now subject to you. But the truth is, you are not aware because you are still seeing yourself, oh, these people don't like me. I need to leave and look for another job. God has just given you a place of your own to control, and you are relinquishing your estate. When you relinquish your estate, somebody else comes to take over. Guess who it is? The devil. Don't give up your estate. When God puts you in a place, occupy. Occupy it. So this week, I just want to send you out with these words to say, the God that is in you is able to do anything and everything that he's promised. He handpicked you. He handpicked you for his glory. If you'll be aware of his presence this week, just practice it. You'll be amazed how much heaven will do in you and through you. Shall we pray?